Morning.
Morning.
Any of you tired this morning? Just feel like you can't hardly take another step. My back hurts for some reason. Sometimes when we strive to serve God, it seems like we're just about drained. We know it's hard because several times in the Bible we're told not to grow weary in well-doing, not to faint or to be weak. Don't give up. Galatians 6 and 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Those things aren't said about things that are easy. Ephesians 6, it talks about putting the armor of God on. So it's a battle. 2 Timothy 3 tells us that if we live godly, we will suffer persecution, and evil men will grow worse and worse. More trouble. So sometimes it seems like it's just getting getting harder and harder and harder to follow God. Often we don't know just how much longer we can keep this up. How much longer we can keep putting one foot in front of the other. Excuse me. As we hear Paul speaking of how he labored for the gospel, it sounds awful heavy. 1 Corinthians 9, starting verse 24, he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." That sounds like a lot of work. It's like fighting a war inside of ourselves. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 7. I want to do good, I try to do good, I seek to do good, and I end up doing what I don't want to do. And he concludes that with, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" You ever felt like that? There seems to be evil all around you, bombarding you with temptations and struggles, and you're trying to do what's right, but you continue to fail as you battle your flesh. But we know that in Matthew 16 and 24, Jesus tells us, "Take up your cross and follow me." We know we need to carry our cross, but it can get very, very heavy. And we just want to sit down and take a load off. Much like this backpack that I have on. When it tells us in Hebrews 12 and 1, "Lay aside every weight," what's it talking about? Well, we all have our crosses, we all have our backpacks to carry. But sometimes when it seems to be getting more than we can bear, it's necessary to stop for a moment. To stop and take off the backpack and unload it. And just see what's making it so heavy. Here's something bulky. Doesn't weigh a lot. Takes all room. You ever used one of these things? It's an air compressor. Well, it's supposed to be. An air compressor for a tire that you put in your car. It's nice and small and convenient. And you plug it in your regular lighter and you come back the next day and your tire will be up. Right? They're annoying. Right? They're loud. They dance all over the pavement while they're trying to do whatever they're doing. It sounds like they're going to rip their guts out just trying to give you a little air. Well, that's kind of what pride's like. Pride's like a leaky tire and a dinky air compressor. It's so much work. so much work and so exhausting, dancing around frantically, making all that noise just for a few pounds of pride. It's not only unbearable work, but it's even unbearable work for the people around you. These things are annoying. Pride is annoying. It becomes a burden to them too. Jesus tells us in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, I've read that verse about, 25 times in my life. But recently it struck me. Did you hear what he said? If you're laboring under a heavy load, he will give you rest. How? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn what? I am meek and lowly in heart. You want rest? Learn how to be meek and lowly in heart. Forget the pride. It's too tiring. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Well, why does pride become before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall? Is it because it's just a balloon just waiting to be popped by something, and down it comes? Or is it because pride is so difficult and so hard to work to maintain that it breaks us down and drives us to the ground? Maybe it's a little of both. Pride is a lot of work to try to maintain. So let's take pride out of there. Let's see what else we got. He won't even sit down. Everybody see what that was? That's not poison ivy, by the way, I hope. That's a grapevine, wild grapevine. If you've ever seen wild grapevines, they're impossible. They're all over everything. What this represents is our worry and our anxiety about our fleshly needs. Kind of what Devin was talking about in the Lord's table. They're kind of tangly. It wraps around everything and finally ties us up in knots, so it's a struggle to even move or carry your backpack. You ever notice how when you're carrying a load around or something and these things are around, you're going to end up on your face because they'll wrap around your feet and you can't shake them off. And you end up either dragging half of it behind you or finally falling down and getting it unwrapped around from around your feet. So this is like worry. Worrying about what we'll eat, what we'll have to drink, what are we going to wear, how are we going to pay bills, how are we going to care for the things of this life. Will we be able to keep our job? Devin talked about that this morning. Will the car keep running? What am I going to do about this pain in my back? What is going to happen if I get sick? These kind of cares don't necessarily scream in our face, but they weave themselves in between our thoughts and our movements until we're dragging a whole 50 foot of this vine around with us. Jesus speaks of this kind of thing in Matthew chapter 6. This is probably familiar to you, starting in verse 25 through 34. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls are there, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus says, don't worry about those things. God knows you need them. God knows you need them. Don't worry about it. So you whack the grapevine down. Before long, there it goes again. It's growing again. It's starting to weave itself in between things, around your feet, just when you think you got it killed. In 2 Peter 2, 20-22, Peter tells us, if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that washeth to her wallowing in the mire. Great analogy. Anxiety is like wallowing. Wallowing in the mire, tangled up. That anxiety, those fleshly desires and worries need to be taken out of there. It's tangling us up. You know what that is? Dirty. That's what that is. There's a little label on it. I can't read it. That's anger. Anger's not something you want to pack around with you, because it just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. I started out with one magnet. Now there's like, I don't know, 10 or 12. A couple other things that are stuck to it. So anger just starts affecting all kinds of things and pulling stuff from everywhere and attracting it to it. Sometimes it don't have anything to do with why you were angry to start with. So anger is like this cluster of magnets. So as you hold on to it and nurture it over time, it turns to bitterness and wrath. It either causes a person to lash out at those around them in aggression, or they impale it on themselves and they become depressed. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 and 31, 32 tell us, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Are you carrying anger around in your backpack? Old anger? And what I mean by old anger, according to Paul, was over a day. If you're harboring and feeding anger, it's getting heavier and heavier, because it continues to seek out and draw in more and more reasons to sustain it. You ever felt like that? You know, I'm not ready to stop being angry. I'm going to keep feeding this because I want to be angry. It's a lot of work to keep all that alive. I have to keep feeding it and feeding it and feeding it. I have to keep finding things that irritate me, annoy me about you or you about me, or the anger just might fade away, and that would be terrible. Have you ever had a day when you were just really in a bad mood and really irritable? Did you notice those days everything seems to be against you? You open the refrigerator and somebody's put the tea back with a quarter inch of tea in it. You get in the car to leave and you got the wrong keys. The garage door that has been having trouble sporadically for some time now refuses to go back down. So you've got to go back in the house and hold the button, clear to the bottom, and then go back out. Really luxurious. You trip going down the stairs because you're so preoccupied with being angry that you aren't paying attention. You just feel like going back to bed. All in an effort to make sure you keep angry. That's a lot of work. It's exhausting. It makes me tired thinking about it. So what's the answer? Well, Ephesians 4:31-32, we just read, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So if you've got anger in your backpack, I can guarantee it's collecting. You need to get it out of there. That one is guilt. When I feel really bad about something that I've done, that wears on me and drags me down further and further. Guilt for sins unrepented is really heavy. Lamentations 1, starting in verse 20, says, "Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled, mine heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Abroad the sword bereaveth, at home there is as death. They have heard that I sigh, there is none to comfort me. All mine enemies have heard of my trouble, they are glad that thou hast done it. Thou wilt bring the day that thou hast called, and they shall be likened to me. Let all their wickedness come before thee, and do unto them as thou hast done unto me for all my transgressions. For my sighs are many, and my heart is faint." That's what guilt feels like. It's heavy. It's heavy. It's so heavy that Paul, when he talked to the congregation at Corinth, and the man was caught in adultery, or had been committing adultery, and they corrected him and he came back, Paul tells him, "You make sure you forgive him quickly. Because if he hangs on to this, Satan's going to have an advantage." 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." This guilt is good, is good for one thing only, and that is to motivate you to repentance. And then you need to get rid of it. Then you need to get rid of it. Hebrews 12:1-3 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you. This is something you should never carry. This is something that should go through you, but never carry. The odd thing about guilt is that it has its effect, whether you're feeling guilty about something that is your fault, whether you're feeling guilty about something that isn't your fault. It feels the same. It even feels the same when you've been forgiven, but you won't forgive yourself. It feels the same. So you have to sort out which guilt is this in order to know how to get rid of it. Is this guilt because of something I've done? Well, then I can repent, and I don't need it anymore. Is this guilt for something that I haven't done? Maybe whatever happened wasn't my fault. then I need to deal with the fact that it wasn't my fault. And there wasn't anything I could do about it. And if it's guilt that I've been forgiven of, we need to remember that Christ paid the price. It's already been paid. It's already off God's record. So why do you need to keep it? We need to just let it go. If we empty all that out, it's much lighter. But there are some things that you might want to keep in your backpack, because it's pretty sure that you'll probably need them. See, that thing's trying to tangle me up. Still, one is God's Word. We need to keep passages in mind like Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28, where it says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Or 2 Timothy 3, starting verse 13. "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make the wise unto salvation, make the wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You're going to need these. You're going to need this for some instruction, for some correction, so you know what you're supposed to get out of your backpack. It's from God's Word that we learn how to get rid of sin, how to avoid sin, how to get rid of anger, how to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up, James 4 and 10. So we're going to need that in the backpack. Second of all, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, I couldn't have the Holy Spirit show himself. He's here, but I couldn't have him show himself. But you're going to need him. You're going to need him. According to Acts 2:38, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when we repent of our sins and are baptized into Christ's death. It is our helper through this life to strive as we strive to serve Christ. Romans 8:1-9 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death, free from all that. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh," those things. "But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." So you're going to need the Holy Spirit. Next, you're going to need humility. We talked about this a little bit already. Next, you're going to need humility. You know, humility is not near as heavy. Not near as heavy and hard to carry as pride is. Definitely not as noisy. It's a more honest evaluation of ourselves that doesn't require me to constantly keep pumping it up. James 4 and 10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You don't have to keep making sure that you're on top, because God is on top, and he'll lift you up. The other thing you might need in your backpack is a cell phone. I know that sounds kind of strange, but you need a cell phone with God on speed dial and your brethren in the contacts. Because 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Why does it say cast? Well, sometimes our care feels like kind of gluey. We have a hard time letting go of it. You need to throw it away from you. Throw the weight off of you. Throw the weight to Christ and let him take care of it for you. Psalms 55 and 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So how do we do this? Well, Philippians 4, verses 5 through 7 says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Take it to God in prayer. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Take it to God through prayer. He'll help you sort. He'll help you sort. Times when I get all tied up in knots, if I take time enough to stop and think, most of those knots I tie myself. Most of those knots I tied myself instead of just letting God take care of it. But our brethren are part of the help too, because we're told to bear one another's burdens in Galatians 6 and 2. So we're going to need God and our prayer to God, and we're going to need each other. We're going to need an eraser, because we're going to need love and we're going to need forgiveness. Forgiveness erases. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If you don't use your eraser and forgive, you won't find God with an eraser when he's meeting you. James 2 and 13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Remember that Christ's yoke is light. Christ's burden is light. Why is that? Why does he say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why? Well, because Christ is love, and Christ is merciful, and Christ is forgiving. He's got a huge eraser. He's not carrying any extra weight, because he didn't need it. He didn't want it. We need to have a big eraser too. And lastly, we're going to need God's promises. Romans 7, starting verse 24, it says, we just got done reading this, at the end of Paul saying how much of a struggle he had with trying to do what he wanted to do and end up doing what he didn't want to do, he ends that with, starting verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who's going to deliver me from all that weight? And he says, I thank God through Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. That's how we're going to get it off, because God promised to take it off if we'll let Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 14, it says, "Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Light affliction. Doesn't that sound nice? Light affliction. That's what it's like to carry Christ's yoke. Light affliction. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. God promises, despite your present circumstances, to give you peace, love, joy, and hope if you will let Him. There's still a load, because Galatians 6 and 5 says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." There's still a load. There's still a backpack to carry. Everybody's got one. But you're the one that gets to decide how much you're going to carry in it and how heavy it's going to be. So if you're getting tired and the weight's bowing your spiritual back and driving you into the spiritual ground of despair and futility, then it's time to stop. Take that load down and see just what it is you're carrying. Why is it so heavy? Where is the peace? Where is the joy? Where is the light affliction? If that's not what your backpack feels like this morning, then you need to unpack it and check it out. With Christ's help, we can carry the load that we need to. We can carry the burden that we need to carry with Christ's help, because Christ has already carried it. He already carried it. They put it on His back, and He carried it up there, and He was nailed to it. It's already paid for. Give it to Christ. Well, this lesson has been obviously geared towards Christians and their walk with God, but it all applies if you're not a Christian as far as the weights, except the weights get bigger. The weights get bigger. There's nothing so heavy, nothing so devastating as to go through life with all of the sins that you have weighing on you. You don't have a backpack big enough. And that weight is going to carry you to hell. You need to get rid of that weight. Christ came to earth, humbled Himself, and died, poured His blood out, carrying your load. But you're going to have to let Him have it. You're going to have to repent of your sins and confess that He is the Christ, your Savior, and be baptized to take those sins away. And then the load's off, and you're free from it. Don't walk out of here today with that weight on your back. That weight is unbearable. And you could have a light affliction. The yoke could be easy. The burden is light because of God's mercy. He extends your mercy to you always. We offer the invitation as we stand and sing this morning.